What is it about that technique that will feed, I guess, your other techniques or other exercises that you do?
Confidence. If you start off with cloud busting and you find that you can do it, it helps you better psychologically to beat that governor that's holding you into the dough and to the design that says you can't do it. So the more that you can build confidence, it changes. Listen, you know, every day you have people telling you what you can't do, and there's a million stories out there about people who just applied themselves, and what did they do? They achieved it. And against all odds, there's just no way that you should have been able to do that, okay? The bottom line is reality is what you choose to make it. If you say it's impossible to affect that, then it's going to be impossible to affect it. But if you know that you can, and you have, and there it is, okay, what are the limitations to that possibilities then of other things that are somehow connected with it? So when you find that you can do cloud busting, and I mean, I've taught children to do it, okay? I know that anybody, I mean, I've taught senior citizens to do it, okay? I don't think there's any, it's just follow that basic recipe that I told you. Just trust yourself. And the thing is, it seems to be very reactive, and I probably suspect that it's because it's a smaller amount of space in dealing with large weather and making the clouds part and stuff like that. You're dealing with a more isolated, but the thing is, you can immediately see the results quickly. And what happens is that's what encourages your will to become even stronger and trust it more. And by the time you're done, you literally have so much belief that you've actually done it. There's going to be that factor that I told you guys about that starts to doubt it. Like, no way, it can't be, you know? And so you're going to find another one, and you're going to work on that one, and you're going to do the same thing. So by the time you've been out there for a half hour or an hour, you're just going to be in awe of yourself. You're just not going to believe that you actually did what you did. You're going to test yourself. You're going to be like, okay, it has to be breaking apart on its own, you know? Clouds are always changing and changing shape as they're moving and blah, 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 blah. And you're going to go through all of these rational things, as you should. You're welcome to, okay? Just choose one, boom, 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 work on it, okay? Whatever, find a tail-end puffy one you want to just kind of shrink it down. You'll find it'll move every other way, but the part that you shrunk down all of a sudden is missing, you know? You know, has anybody worked on a cloud busting?
Yes.
Okay, good. And what was your feelings?
That it works just like you're saying.
Works just like
absolutely.
I'm saying. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah?
Yeah.
Same thing,
same
Carrie?
Thing. Yeah. Actually, when I first started studying with you, that's one of the first things you taught me.
Good.
And that was actually the biggest push, the proof that I could do that to end my meditation.
Excellent. So, again, it's an encouraging thing. And sometimes it's these things you need that the babbler cannot deny. Once you beat the babbler, I mean, the door just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Because you're saying, if I can do this, then I should be able to do that. So I always say, don't take huge steps. Don't say by the end of the week, I should be able to create a storm. You know what I'm saying? Be reasonable with yourself. You know, some things you're going to accelerate at. Some stuff will take longer. You'll do fantastic things if you just not set major expectations on yourself. So you work with that, and then you move on to other stuff, and you get bigger and better and bigger and better and bigger and better. There's nothing you can't do. There's nothing that I do that you can't learn to do.
I wanted to know if you could explain what weather is to the Gaia, the organism, what it is.
Well, I think in the most part it's a lot what science says. I mean, it's the ground heating up, air pressure rising, cold temperatures dropping, creating, you know, these vacuums of air, and you know, we're feeling them go over land masses. Storms are accumulation of moisture due to heat and pressure and all this other stuff. So I think it's relatively accurate. Now, if you really want to know what I, you know, kind of feel, then, you know, fine, I'll open that can of worms. I think like this. I think that sometimes weather almost is a lower vibration manifesting of the consciousness of the planet moving across what we would call the surface of the planet, meaning our environment. Whether it be stormy or whatever, I think it's like hemispheres of the brain. Now, I think that we also act as a nervous system, meaning the, you know, the the diodes or whatever you want to call it, nerve ends or whatever, we're all like independent, but yet we're clustered, if you want to think about it, and we have all these different things. Or I used to say if people would be in phone rooms and they would call a certain town, they couldn't make one sale, they call the other end of the town and everybody would be buying like crazy. Well, this is cluster consciousness. I believe there's an absolute science behind it, that different areas feel differently. Well, you could say, well, we're affected by our mood, by the weather that happens to be over our town, or blah, 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 blah. I don't think that's all it, because we can call other states and all this other stuff, so and you can get the same response. Or people will notice in their jobs, you know, that, like, you know, one day, you know, you're like, hey, is everybody being a jerk to you? And they're like, yeah, I don't know what. You'll always notice there's this collective of the same response. And, you know, well, how is that? If one person is finding everybody's being great, usually everybody else will find the same thing too. It's like a collective thought. And if you think about it, like I said, you'll realize it. So I think that wind movement, often it has its own kind of semi-intelligence, because I do believe in large part it is natural. But it's fair enough to say that, would you say that you're in control of all your thoughts? And most people would say no and yes. Okay. Well, I would say, would you say then that your environment has a big effect on your thoughts? Well, think about it. Would you say that you're in a better mood on a sunny day than on a rainy day? Would you say that you feel differently in a warm room versus a cold room? Would you feel different in a hot room versus a warm room? Would it affect how you think and how you react and what you're doing? Yes. So I think in one way the planet, much like how we're reacting with our environment and this dance of being kind of partly conscious but partly being manipulated by the environment and what kind of serotonins and biochemicals are being released in the brain because of these factors that are being reacted, have a big part of why we react the way we do. You know, minus also the vibrations and energy that are also another contributor to all this and makes one big pot of beef stew, but the beef stew has one experience it delivers. You know, hey, it's either good or you don't like it. You know, it depends if you're a vegan or not, I guess, or whatever. But the point is I think in part that it's the consciousness of the planet that somehow is moving, some kind of consciousness is combined with it. The only thing I could say is this, that when I connect with the weather, I don't necessarily connect with the weather. I feel like I'm connecting with an intelligence. I feel like I'm talking to something rather than something that's not there making it do something. And I think that that's a credible point, is that I don't look at the weather as being weather. I look at the weather as being something. I used to call the weather when I was younger the wind, Uklo. And it's just a name that worked for me, and I've always acknowledged it. And so sometimes I'll talk to the wind. I'll like, come on, Uklo, let's kick one up, you know? Let's come on, you know? And sure, I get a hell of a windstorm going, you know, and people would be just in shock, you know. So, you know, I the relationship I have with weather is not looking at weather as being a thing or a reaction or just a something. I see it as being individual in its own way, but not like a person, like a pet or like something, you know. I mean, like, not to say that I think of the weather being a lesser, it's calling it a pet, but to say that there's a different kind of relation there, that it's an intelligence. And by reciprocating to that intelligence and being non-threatening and being in communion or in a sense knowing that it wants to work with me, it wants to work with me. So I choose to work with it.
Because I think about the globe as a whole, and I see on one side that it's really sunny, and over here it's really cloudy, and then there's a hurricane over here. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a person, how a person has one mood and one feeling on the globe. It's like there's a variety of things happening all at once.
Well, what do you think is happening in your brain? Your motor gears are in one dime size area, let's say, and then the size of a pencil tip is your taste sensory and are you feeling the floor on your butt right now as you're sitting? I mean, can't you feel your hand on your chin? Can't you emotionalize what we're talking and hear what I'm saying and feel that? And yet you're looking at me and you're seeing all the colors in this room and everything. Aren't you doing many things at one time too? Can't you be mad at somebody and be laughing at the same time? I have been. No different, just perception. Just try to think bigger. That's the secret. Go ahead.
There was this in one step when you're manipulating weather, where you really just kind of just feeling and existing in the weather. And sometimes it feels like there's a momentum that's there. And sometimes it's very weak, and sometimes it's very strong, like it has to do this, some, whatever it is.
Right.
And I've found that there, it affects your ability to do whatever you think that you would like to do. And you have to...
Well, remember what I said about working with it at first, okay? You know, I think that a nice word would be to say that when I work with the weather... And I like the word work with the weather, but I got a better word for it. I'm dancing with it. And there's a point where you let it take the lead and you work with it. You let it move you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've already done the first step. You're becoming one with it because it's moving you. But at some point, you take the lead. You lead the dance. Does that make sense for you?
Yeah.
It's just a point in your mind that when you know you're ready and you just do it. And you just kind of have this comfort. You can't force it. That's the big thing. You can't just say you're going to do this. I want big. You can feel the anticipation for it, but you can't say you have to. I often say when you want something in life, don't pray for it. Prayer is like demanding. You know, I need this. I need that. Now, you wish for it. Why do I say wish? Because wish is it doesn't even fully capture what I'm trying to say, but it's the closest word that I can think of. It's like a desire, you know. It's not that you're demanding. It's not that you're really asking. You just putting this desire out, and you're willfully hoping that it will be responded to, you know. But wishing and hoping are, there's a difference between the two. Every word there is, for everything there is in life, whether it's a wall, a candle, a plastic box, it holds a feeling. Feel and manifest what it is that you wish for. And project it out as a wish. There's something very specific about feeling what a wish is. You can't quite put your finger on it. If I say you know, a snow cone, you've already got it already. You can feel the crunchy, bristly cold of it. You can become aware of the cone, feel the paper, maybe hold it. You know what I'm saying? It ain't nothing I can think of that you know. A cell phone has a feeling. Keys have a feeling. When I say Joy has a feeling that you immediately put it. Sadness has a meaning. But when I say wish, boy, we're just like all over the board trying to peg that one down. That's because it's an in word. It's a glitch word. It's something you're hoping for, but you're not necessarily hoping for, because hope holds a different feeling. Hope immediately has a sense to it. We can feel what hope is. When you say, well, wish for something, there's almost a part of you that, if you really think about it, has an anticipation of something that will be. It's different. It's a very special word, and I think that's why people say, you know, three wishes, or, you know, wish for this to happen. I mean, who came up with that? I mean, think about it. Who came up with a wish? Why don't you just hope for it? Why don't you just ask for it? Why wish for it? Because there's something very special about wishing. It's not asking and it's not hoping. It's not demanding. It's the most politest way to kind of put something out there that I need help with. And I'm not asking for your help, but I sure would like it if you feel comfortable with it. And you know, I never know the universe not wants to want to oblige you when you ask it correctly. It's also very willing to step in always. This is how you ask.